Good day, and welcome to the Camp Minds podcast for the fourth week of January 2010. The Camp Minds podcast is sponsored by Our Kids Media, and you can find us on the net at ourkids.net. And we're a company that produces, among other things, the Our Kids Go to Camp magazine. My name's Travis Allison, and at this time I'd like to invite my co-hosts to introduce themselves.
My name is Gabrielle, and I am a camp director in Quebec, and we have an all-girls private camp.
Thanks, guys. Dan?
My name is Dan Weir, and I'm the director of Camp La Vianda at Frost Valley YMCA, and so we're a pretty large camp about 2.5 hours from New York City, and we have several programs going on, but Camp La Vianda is the younger half of our resident camp.
Yeah. Joe?
And I'm Joe Richards. I'm the camp director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a United Church summer camp and retreat facility in southwestern Ontario, near London, Ontario.
Right on. So as we've been doing, we're going to start us off this podcast. We're going to aim for sort of half-hour slot. So what we'd like to start off with is some links from some people. So I'm going to start off with mine, and then we'll pass it on. These are just some quick things that might help you in your job as a camp director. So I was super excited to notice when I was checking the Google Docs for this podcast. That's how we sort of set everything up, and we know what we're going to talk about. That I got a notice from Google Docs that the new sort of G Drive is available for my account. And so now for Google Docs, you can upload anything into Google Docs. And it'll sit there and it'll give you a URL to download it. So it's sort of like an extra set of free space that you can put anything up there. And I think that's pretty cool because I was even looking for a place to post the MP3 from another podcast recording that we did. And I was hoping that it would start. It hadn't started, it hadn't started. So it's pretty cool that that came online just today for me. I think it kind of goes across your accounts bit by bit, but today's my big day. Has anybody else had it start for them yet?
Which, for the Google Docs?
Yeah, the store, anything?
Yeah, it just started today, so.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. Who else has got a link for us?
Well, I'll go next. My link is something called, it's called Pub Games is a link. But essentially what we do at camp every summer is we look for new, interesting sort of games that can just sit out anywhere. And sometimes they're outside games and sometimes they're inside games. And I was touring around a few weeks ago and came across this link to Pub Games. And they have everything from giant games, so giant versions of, you know, Connect Four or Snakes and Ladders, but it's also a bunch of easy games so that you can sort of make on your own, from, you know, ring tosses to inside things. Like there's one called Ringing the Bull, which I'd never seen before, but I'm fascinated to put it in our dining hall. So
I've seen that at a few restaurants, and it's a lot of fun, the Ringing of the Bull, and a few camps have had it too, I've seen.
Yeah, it just seems like something that you could even hook as a camp. You could hook that up outside somewhere, and kids would play it. I think they would play it for hours. It's just a cool site to get ideas to build stuff for camp. So,
yeah,
that is my link.
And building sort of part of your hobby as well. So,
it is certainly a hobby of mine.
Yeah.
Making cool stuff.
Nice. Well, I posted squiddo.com this week, and basically, in a nutshell, it's a better Wikipedia. It's created by Seth Godin, and he's a popular author. A lot of people in the camping industry have read Purple Cow and Tribes and maybe even Meatball Sunday. But really, what it does is allows for people to publish articles on things they know, and they call them lenses. And they're kind of like pages in the sense that you know, it might be about a topic they know, it might be about their camp, but this week I was posting a video on our blog, and I was trying to make sure that I was posting it in HD, And so I just looked up making sure YouTube is in high definition with embedded, and I got all these great tips from here. And I know for me, with looking for stuff for posting on our website, it's a nice resource that I should be using a lot more. And I actually took an article that I wrote for our camp blog on how to fight homesickness, and I just posted it up there. And so now it's up there when people are searching for stuff about camp or how to, you know, related to homesickness, it'll pop up in the search as well, too. And it's all free, which is the nice part.
Yeah, Squidoo is awesome. It came out probably 4 years ago. It started in earnest. And when I was editing the Ontario Camping Association newsletter, I sort of had an online version that was going there that could be updated more. And that's not what it was first intended for, but it worked for that purpose for a little bit. But it's a great, you put up something that you're an expert at, and it'll come up in searches. So.
Yeah, and I whenever I search stuff on the net too, I just run into so many things of, can I trust the source? Is this really, is this, getting around all the advertisements, and they seem to be pretty good and about being organized.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And Squidoo is one of those things I've never quite grokked. I don't really understand. Although I think the Google juice is amazing from it, but I don't quite get why or what its niche is. Maybe that's just because I haven't spent enough time there.
I don't know if it has a pure niche per se, as well as it just does it well, in the sense of like it's one kind of area where you can search for everything, instead of searching Google where you don't know what article you're going to get from or what source it's going to come from.
Right. Hmm. Cool. Gab, what's your link?
So my link is called Basecamp, and it's basically a web-based project collaboration tool. And so in our office, we have two offices. We have one in Montreal and then one in the Laurentians. And we have we're four full-timers and approximately six or seven part-time staff members. And so we're all working on various projects. And so this is a really neat way to manage projects, also record the time that you're working on certain projects, task lists and all this kind of stuff. And it's like Google Docs, where everybody can look and share information. It's just a little bit more sophisticated. So I can chart how long my staff have been working on certain projects, how many hours, record those hours so they get paid properly, and it just sort of, as well as since it also has avoided that problem where sometimes I tell a staff member to do something and the other director tells another staff to do the same thing. We didn't know that, and then here we have two projects that are being done simultaneously, and we didn't realize it. So it just keeps us a lot more organized, and we just started to use it, and they're very, very helpful. And I like that they have online sort of tutorials. Very, very easy, but they're video tutorials, which I enjoy very, very much. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
I've used a bunch of stuff from the company that makes it 37 Signals, including Basecamp. And I use HiRISE, which is another one of their services that's for sort of keeping track of contacts and when you've talked to them and that sort of stuff. But I have used Basecamp before, and it's pretty awesome. Are you using a paid version, Gab?
We're on the 30-day free trial at the moment,
and you're happy with it, eh?
Yeah, well, we were, there's a bunch of different payments. So the first one sort of at $20 a month, second one is $30, and it depends on how many people are using it and what you want to do. But I think right now, and with so many things going on, to different marketing campaigns and staff, development and program development, and all these, we're rebuilding our website, so all of that information goes up there. You can share the documents and comment on the documents, and I'm loving it right now. It's keeping us really in check, so I like it.
That's cool. And it has a free version, but it's limited to the number of people that can use it, right?
Yeah.
Like two people or three people or something.
I think it's a little bit more than that, but
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I love that. It looks like it's iPhone compatible as well too.
Yeah.
Yes. We almost need to bring in a fifth person, just so we have someone who doesn't have an iPhone.
That's right.
When it comes to those discussions. So if anybody's listening,
I could pretend I have a
phone and uses a BlackBerry. Maybe you should.
Or we could get sponsored by iPhone and.
Well, that's even better.
Exactly.
As long as they pay for the phone bill, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Our first media sponsor.
That's right.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your links. We had a little chat before we started recording about what we're going to talk about today, and we've decided that to focus for a few minutes now on staff retention. And Joe, I wonder if you could sort of introduce that since you've posted the topic today.
Yeah, staff retention is as a summer camp director, it's something where you really strive to have to create this culture of success around camp. There was a conference called yesterday with camp leadership about it, and just the concept of creating that culture, and in doing so, you make staff. Here at Pierce, we really make staff buy into what we're selling. You know, that the kids come first, that it's about the kids, that, you know, once the kids are, you know, that by helping the kids, you're helping yourself. And the goal is to have a high staff retention, the same as to have a high camper retention. The problem comes in is how high is too high with staff retention, because there's always sort of a value to having new staff come in. So our example here is we run a fairly small summer camp, and so we deal with around 35 staff. And last summer we had 20 CITs, and as of this year we have done no advertising for staff, and we have 33 people who've applied back who were all at camp last summer. And so it becomes a question of should we hold two or three spots for new people, or take the people who know that we know and that know our philosophy, that know our team, sort of, you know, that buy into the one-line job description to do what needs to be done, and go from there. And it's, you know, I come, as some of you would know, I come at this from having worked at a camp where my sole job was to find 260 summer staff every summer. And our staff retention rate was, you know, much closer to 50% than 100%. So.
Nice.
And I was just going to say, do you, when you hire your staff, Joe, do you tell them what the basis of them being rehired is? For example, do you say, you know, if we have somebody that has the same qualifications as you, as let's just say head of rock climbing, but you have experience at Pierce, you get the job, or do you not say anything to your staff at all on how you rehire, how the rehiring works?
We in the past have never sort of talked about why someone would get chosen to come back. They understand why they would be chosen not to return. Our hiring is a bit different in the sense that we don't hire heads of anything except for our pool. So when someone joins our staff, if they're not on our leadership team, they're what we term a counselor programmer, which lets us move them around to any sort of position we need them in. And so we've never discussed with them sort of what our how our theory works as to who we want back. And it's based on a theory that a friend of mine shared with me. We have a rating system that currently is 1 to 4. We're changing it next year to 1 to 5. One being that we will recruit you to come back. We'll go out, and if you don't apply back, we'll come and search for you. Two being, if you apply back, no issues. Come on back. Three this year was, you know, there were some issues. We would have to really talk about them before you came back to camp. And four has always been, have a good one. And so what we've done every summer for the past 5 summers is we've used that system, but never shared it with the staff. And there's potential, right, that some of my staff will wander across this podcast before they get this explanation, which is sort of odd. This year we're committed to sharing that is the way we will rate you at the end of the summer. And this is what a 1 looks like, and this is what a 2 mm-hmm. looks like, and this is what a 3 looks like. And it's so, yeah, it's not based on experience per se, Gab. It's we like the person we know better than the person we don't know. So
is somebody recording in the bathroom?
No, my wife just walked in. I apologize.
No.
About that.
No problem. It sounded so echoey. It sounded like you're in the outhouse.
No, we live in the woods, so we got a few storm doors and
right.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to interrupt, Jim.
So the question becomes: Is there space for new people? Right. And is there what is the value in bringing new people? Now, Dan, you said you have a system in place.
Yeah, it's it started out as an unofficial system, but over the past 3 years, it's definitely become the way that we've done things. So we have I'm one of those camps that has to hire 200 plus staff every summer on top of the. With being a year-round facility, we have about 100 year-round staff as well, too.
That's awesome.
But I'm mostly in charge of just hiring 200 staff for our resident camp. And with that, we have about 70% retention rate. And so a lot of the people with that have been coming year after year. Some of them were even campers, and they feel the love of Frost Valley. Like, this is who they are. It's, you know, when I ask them, one of our interview questions is, why do you want to work at a camp this summer? And they're like, I don't want to work at a camp. I want to work at Frost Valley. And that's how they wouldn't be doing this if they were doing it anywhere else. And then for that other 30%, it's pretty large because we hire so many staff. But what we do is for like a village of 10 people, and that's how we break up our summer camp cabins is by villages. A village would be one village chief, so that's a unit leader. So it's typically someone with 3 to 4 years of counseling experience, if not also some leadership and supervisory experience as well, too. And then we'd hire about four returning staff members in that village. And then we would hire one staff member that is new, that's typically from overseas as well, too, because we like to have that diversity factor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds so much to our program for kids to say they met someone from England or South Africa or South Korea. It's just it's amazing just the impact that adds in there. And then the four last spots for the younger half of camp are typically junior staff, which means they are under the age of 18. And part of the American Camping Association requires that you can have no more than 20% of your staff be under the age of 18. So what this means is for the younger villages where there's a good age gap and maturity is definitely kind of plays a role in that aspect. The younger staff could work with, the 10 to 11-year-olds. But for when we get to, 13, 14 is where we start limiting the junior staff in that aspect. So with that kind of built-in system, we have more of the returning staff working with the older campers, which is good because those campers want those staff back year after year. And then in the younger half, it's definitely a kind of good mixed culture in that. And then we hire some additional program staff that really, for the most part, are new to Frost Valley. And most of the program staff, when they return to be a cabin counselor and then kind of keep going with that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And that works, it sounds like it works for you, but it also sounds very, the numbers seem very sort of structured and tight. Is it hard to find, that those international staff and then those new staff and, that must be quite a job.
It does get a little taxing. We go to one of the camp fairs from camp leaders, and my coworker's going in February, and his job is to come back with 20 internationals fitting into these certain spots of some of them are, we need a female to work with 13-year-old females, or we need a lifeguard of this age and that kind of aspect. So it does make it a little bit of a headhunting in that search. But we have such a great culture here with the returning staff that I always talk, when I talk to somebody new, I tell them how, we have a good returning culture in the sense that, we must be doing something right if people are returning year after year, but you won't be the only new person when you're coming here as well, too.
Yeah.
Right.
But I really believe the junior staff part is the is kind of building those people to be the leaders of camp and to sit in the training with them and say, like, one day you could have my job and actually mean it. Like, it's a very empowering thing.
It's an interesting point. You know, the American Camping Association sets it at 20%. There's no such the Ontario Camping Association doesn't set a percentage, and United Church Camps actually use a we hire 16-year-olds as counselors, 16, 17-year-olds. And so I think part of that is, you know, having grown up in that system, I grew up in United Church Camping, is that what you get is you're able to not brainwash them, but, like, really influence. Really,
no, it's
influence
brainwashing.
The
it's
way
okay.
they perceive. Well, the way they perceive who they are. And at that young age, who they are, you know, during that those 2 months at camp becomes like, you know, it happens for older people as well, but sometimes they don't latch on as much. And I think I love having moved back from a camp where the average age of staff was probably 21 to here where the average age is probably 17 and a half, almost 18. I really like dealing with this age group a lot better. Because they're not worldly in that sense that they will come back and mouth off to you or question something, because I hate people questioning what I do.
Joe runs an orderly camp.
But well, and here's the thing. So if I have because small numbers, it's funny. When I came back to United Church Camping 5 years ago, I was like, wow. We hire 30 staff? Like, that's like a walk in the park after hiring 260 for so many
years. Yeah, when you said 30, I was like, oh.
But you can imagine, Dan, that if you have one bad staff, you know, if I have 260 staff, and my business manager said to me shortly after I started at the Taylor Statton camp, she said, you're going to hire bad apples. There's nothing you can do about it. You're hiring 260 people. So if we have an average of, you know, 2 or 3% that we need to let go, which over 260 people is like almost 10 people that you're firing every summer. Yeah. And here that percentage goes way down. If you have one bad apple, it can spread faster than wildfire. Yeah. And that's the fear. And I've gotten into this conversation with our summer camp director to say, okay, well, listen, we have 33 signed up. Do we like these 33? Can you manage the people that are sort of on that cusp of that 2-3, you know, split? They're just above a 2 in their average. We had 5 leadership team members individually rate our staff, right? So then it averages out. And that's a pretty good, you know, viewpoint. So if one leadership team member had a personality conflict, it shouldn't show up on the average. But can you manage them? And is it better that I deal with the devil I know than the devil I don't?
Yeah. But a lot of that goes into also how you evaluate and supervise your staff. Like one of the things we do to kind of control them, you know, since having a large staff is, we have weekly supervisions with our staff, in the sense that each supervisor has to meet with their staff member once a week for an hour professional development conversation of what they're doing well and what they should be improving on. And then we have an evaluation twice a summer. And so like a formal, like actually writing it down and putting it in their file. And we've actually found, we just implemented that last summer, and we found just that we really were able to kind of keep the bad apples from becoming bad apples and you know, into better apples. That I'm looking for apple analogies, but definitely kind of keep people on par, making sure that they're not getting disconnected and then spreading it to everybody else.
And I think that,
well, and it makes,
I was just saying, I think
go ahead,
I
Gap.
Think that what you're talking about, Dan, and I think that in the day you checked in with your, I mean, stories that I heard was basically when you're hopping on the bus to go home as a staff member, the director would shake your hand and you'd get on the bus and they would say, we would like you, you know, you're welcome to apply for next year, you know, and you sort of were you didn't know if you were going to come back until the last day of camp and these type of
Oh,
things.
wow.
And I think now what successful camps, what they're doing is taking the approach that you're talking about. And they're not necessarily evaluations. They're, as you called them, a development. So we're going to talk about your performance. We're going to talk about, you know, what you're doing and how can you improve from this point. And then you do sort of an official write-up. And I think that's helping our staff see this more as a job. And we are thinking of them, you know, if this is going to be my CIT director, what do I need to do right now as he or she's 18 years old to get them to be prepared as, you know, whatever position that we have in sight for them. But the problem that we were having, of course, with the economic situation, now a lot of us have a lot of staff, you know, so this is kind of neat in one way, sort of puts Joe in that predicament of maybe only hiring two more people for, you know, for his camp. But the problem that we were having is that we had great 17, 18-year-olds that they were coming to camp since they're maybe 8, you know, 10 or 12 years old, did our CIT, two-month CIT program, came in for 2 months as a 17-year-old, 2 months as an 18-year-old, and they said, wow, all I've done in the summer was this camp, and I love this camp, but I'm feeling a little burnt out from, I want to try something else. And our heads of activities, we were starting to have to hire from outside, which was becoming the consistency and the continuity wasn't there. And the staff that pushed through, they became our leadership team, with a couple of exceptions that were from the outside. So what we're trying this year is for our 17 and 18-year-olds, they can choose to either apply for July or August camp or for the whole summer. But it gives them the opportunity to maybe try something else. We've also been hooking them up with international programs, you know, going to Mexico or going to South Africa and you know, that kind of thing. And we're hoping that what this is going to do is to prolong their stay at camp until their activity heads, so we have that continuity. And so they still have the option to go in and try other stuff, but they still come back to camp. So we're going to see how that works out for the summer.
That's great. I heard one camp that actually makes their 17-year-olds take a full summer off. Like, they can't come back that summer as well.
And I've heard of more than one camp that does that. And I think it's interesting. I don't know how it would work. It obviously works for the ones that I've talked to about it. That, you know, go get some other camp experience.
Yeah.
Because you've only lived your life here, and I think that's pretty cool. Thank you for
that. And we encourage...
Sorry, Joe. I'll give you the last word, Joe. Yeah. I'm going to move us on after whatever you have to say.
Yeah. We encourage our staff to look for, you know, staff who have run and got to the end point. We encourage them to look elsewhere for camp, different experiences, be it at camp or be it somewhere else. And I think having a great staff retention rate is really positive. I don't think it would be fair to hire two new staff into a group of 35.
Mm-hmm.
When I have 33 returning. And so it becomes that question of, oh, well, maybe I can just handle it with 33, which I'm pretty sure I can. So it's one of those things where you want to be fair to new staff. The same as a camp director, you're not going to put one new camper in a cabin of six returning
campers.
Yeah, definitely. Because that would be silly. So that's it.
Nice.
Good. Well, thanks for that discussion, everybody. Some great ideas. The last section of our podcast that we always do is our picks of the week. And so we're going to let Joe, he has to go last, although I see he's ready to go. Dan, why don't you tell us your pick of the week?
Sure. So this actually just came out yesterday. It's called Director's Camp, and it's ran by Scott Arizella, Steve McGuire, and Chris Thurber. And so these are three guys I really admire. And when I go to conferences, really try to catch at least one of their sessions. It definitely energizes me. And they're basically going to be running a camp for camp directors in October. And they're going to put you and make you feel like campers. So they're going to, you know, you're going to have some recreation time, but then you're also going to have workshops and activities. And they've even built in yoga and swim time as well, too. But yeah, it just I've met a lot of camp directors that actually haven't really had too much camp experience in a sense of either being a camper or being a camp staff for that long before they got up to an administrator level. And I think it's a perfect way for people to really understand what's going in the minds of their participants as well as their younger staff. And then just the content that comes out of these three guys. Scott Arizal is definitely someone I've worked with previously here. And he's definitely made me believe that camping could be a career. And Steve McGuire is someone that really connects to, like, my program director loved him because he was like, oh, he's so edgy and raw. And he ran a session where, like, the first session, the first part of it was saying how some of you are not going to like me, and I'm okay with that. And just kind of kept going. And then Chris Thurber, he's got a PhD, and he literally is what the foundation of our homesickness measures and preventative plans are here at Frost Valley. And it's amazing to kind of see that all three of those would be together in that atmosphere.
Well, and Chris Thurber, for Canadians, well, for anybody, he was on Definitely Not the Opera on CBC Radio.
That's right.
Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think it was, 2 weeks
and
ago.
And it's funny, yeah, because we use the term missing home, but it's strange to hear someone talk about it. So much so that my son, who is 7, is listening to the podcast as I am in the car, and he's like, that guy shouldn't be saying homesick.
Yeah. That's definitely an American term, yeah.
We say home loneliness.
Home loneliness. Nice. Yes.
Where is that? Where is that being held?
It looks like it's at Camp Belknap, which is a really great Y camp up in Maine, I believe. I'm going to check right now. But basically, it's this camp that, you know, fills up in September, and it's just, you know, it's got a great camping culture there as well too. It's in New Hampshire. I'm sorry.
Yep, New Hampshire.
I might pay for that out of my education budget.
Nice. That's nice.
Sounds awesome. All right, Gab, what's your pick of the week?
Sweet.
My pick of the week is is a book, and it's called Camp is for the Camper, and it's by Connie, I'm going to say her name probably with the French accent, but Coutelier. I'm sure in the States there's it's anglified, but...
Yeah, definitely.
How do you say it, Dan, her last name?
Do you know? I'm just looking right now for...
Coutelier.
Coutelier?
Probably. Well, yeah.
Coutelier would be her name. So, Connie, you're...
Yeah, you know. Coutelier would definitely be it. But I have a Jersey accent as well, too, which does not help at all. So.
Well, I met Connie a couple years back at the International Camping Conference in Mexico, and she was one of the leaders that was running the International Camp Director's course. I thought she was just very smart and quite logical, and at the ACA conference last year, I saw that she obviously has written this is the second edition of this book, so I just picked it up. It was $10, and I just threw it in my bag. I didn't look at it for a couple of months, and then I opened it, and it's just very, very well put together, really clean, information, and was great tool for my CIT director with all of her CITs, and it just goes over basic information on the expectations a camp director has for the staff, the expectations that a parent has for the camp counselor, what to do in certain situations, and I think it just sort of spells out certain things that maybe we might take for granted when we think of logical, and, you know, sort of, we think, you know, that's so logical, if a child is shivering and shaking, you put a towel on him or her, but this sort of explains that you should be putting a towel on a child. And anyways, I thought it was great, and I'm going to definitely use it a little bit more for my staff training, especially for my younger staff. I think it's kind of neat. So you can get that at the ACA bookstore online, and it's about $10 American, so a little bit more for Canadians.
Cool. So my pick of the week is Evernote. And Dan and I have had many conversations about Evernote and how much we both love Evernote.
Yes.
Which is at evernote.com. And Evernote is, their slogan is that it's your external brain. And I have it on my phone, and you can use it online through a web browser, and you can download a version to your computer, and it allows you to just store everything. So it integrates a clipper into your browser and sort of into your operating system so that if you want to remember anything, sort of highlight it and click send to Evernote. And at that point, you can tag that thing. You can, it saves the URL of whatever it is you were looking at, or you can add in a URL for whatever. And so I use Evernote all the time. For my job, I commute 3 hours a day. And I find that one of the things I do all the time in Evernote is use the one on my iPhone to record a Varse note for myself. And then later when I have time, I sort of sit down and type those out. But it always, what I type out always goes back into Evernote. So Evernote for me has replaced delicious.com. Anything on a web that I'm interested in that I might have buy as a present for a friend, anything that I want to save always just goes into Evernote. And the other cool thing that Evernote does, excuse me, is that if you have a whiteboard or anything else that you scan, a PDF or whatever, you upload it to your Evernote account, and after a certain amount of time, that all the words on that document or whiteboard or whatever are searchable. So when you're in Evernote and you're looking for something on septic systems at camp or whatever, you just type those words in, and even if it was just scrawled on a whiteboard, it'll show up in your search. And there's a great free version of Evernote that would work for 95% of the people. And I pay for mine because just because there's so many things I'm involved in, I never know when I'm going to hit that that limit. And basically, it's a limit of how much you can upload to your account online per month. And it all gets synced between every computer and your iPhone and whatever. So I paid for the pro version of that, which gives me a whole bunch more uploads. And yeah, it's cool. So it's nice. It's synced between my work computer, my home computer, and my iPhone. And I can log in online anywhere to Evernote.
And how much did that cost, the pro?
About $50, I think.
Okay. I'm still using the free one, and I haven't come close to using the capacity of it. And my favorite thing about it too is that you could make separate notebooks in there, so you could actually like have a section where, for instance, I use it for phone messages where it's just I enter in just the person's name, what we talked about, and what was resolved, so that way I could later search it if they call and say, oh, we talked on this day, and you said this, this, and this, and I could look up and be like, no, I didn't, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, and that's an awesome use for Evernote.
That's awesome.
I
use it as well. And one of the things I use it for is tracking my driving. We pay by kilometer, so right, I can track it on my iPhone, it uploads, and then when my accountant says, where's your kilometers, I'm like, oh, here it is.
And Gab, it's $45 a year.
Okay. Oh, a year. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Well, I'm going to check it out. I think I sort of understand what it is, but I think I have to try it to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna look at that.
It's definitely addicting once you get into the format of using it.
If you have an iPhone, Evernote works really well because then it's there on your computer as well. So.
Yep.
Neat.
Yep.
That's also our plug for our iPhone sponsorship.
My pick of the week is actually something called Backupify. I listened to Twit Tech This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte, and he was promoting Backupify, and it's free until January 31st, so depends when you're listening to the podcast. But essentially, it backs up your cloud accounts. So it'll back up your Facebook, your Twitter, your Gmail, your SmugMug, your Flickr, every account. It'll back up to a file that you can then download and keep, so that if any of those ever get wiped out for whatever reason, you have it all. It's all there. And it was fascinating because especially with the with what happened to Google last week or a couple of weeks ago about the China hack, that was the first really big cloud hack. And there's an interesting article on Spark that's coming up this week about about that cloud hack, and it's just, it seemed to be the perfect time to start using something like Backupify, because we store all of our camp mail, all of our camp email is done on Google Apps, and so I can back all of that up as well. So
that's great.
That's brilliant.
And
I just signed up
Yeah, it's free until January 31st. After that, they're introducing a paid option. I'm not sure what that'll be, but I got on board now. So it's fairly simple. And I heard, if you want to hear, I think on Twit, a couple of episodes ago, it's in the title, Backupify, and the guy talks about how it works, and it just seems brilliant.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if I lost my Google Docs right now, I'd probably cry.
Yep.
Yeah, you can back that up.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shoot. I'm signed up now.
That's awesome.
That's good. All right, so we're doing pretty good for time. We should take a couple minutes to say goodbye and give everybody a chance to do a web plug for something you're working on or something you're excited about or Twitter or whatever, and then we'll say goodbye. So, Joe, you haven't gone first yet, have you?
No, I'm excited about, I'm off to Ohio this weekend for a committee meeting for the Buckeye Leadership Workshop, which happens in March, which is buckeyeleadership.com or buckeyeleadership.org, and it's a recreation-based conference. It's not camping, but it's something completely different that I'd love, so that is my pick of the week, or my web plug for me. I manage that website as well, so.
Cool. And your Twitter, Joe?
Twitter is, you can follow me at YoYoJoeR at Twitter. And don't follow YoYo Joe, because he's a guy who runs a toy store in Delaware.
So. Awesome. Gab, what do you got for us?
I'll be heading over to the Ontario Camp Association Conference, not this weekend, but next weekend. So I'll be speaking there on a program called the ACT program, and you can go on my website, which is GabrielleRail.com, and you can download some sessions that I have there and some tips for your staff and for yourself, as well as you could go on my camp website, which is Waro.com. That's that.
Excellent. Dan, how about you?
Great. So next week I am presenting with my boss Northeast YMCA Camp Conference on the title sessions, What the Internet is Not Evil. And we're going to be talking about the positive impacts of kids being on the Internet, and definitely causing a lot of controversy when we say that aloud as well, too. Definitely been having a fun time researching this session. New York Times just did an article last night of how the average child or average teen is spending 7.5 hours online a day through a mobile device or a computer or some way online. And we're going to be talking about why it's not always a bad thing. There's definitely negative aspects to it. We'll acknowledge that as well, too. And then I can be followed at Dan Loves Camp at Twitter. And yeah, that's about it.
Wonderful.
And you know what? I was just thinking that I should change my Twitter name to Joe Loves Camp, but
nice.
I'll check to see if it's available.
That would be good. Cool. Well, I'm Travis Allison. I'm online and Twitter at twitter.com/Zoic, Z-O-I-C. And for work, I'm Twittering at twitter.com/OurKidsNet, and also blogging at ourkids.net/blog. So there you go. That's all of us in the real world. Anything anybody else wants to add before we wrap it up? No.
The dead silence.
An excellent silence. Okay, well, thanks to the four of you. Thanks to the three of you, and me as four. For meeting up today. And to all of our listeners, I want to thank you so much for downloading the Camp Minds podcast, a product of Our Kids Media. And yes, we have finally settled on a name, the Camp Minds. So you can watch for, there'll be a couple, this is probably be the last sort of unofficial tester podcast. And after this time, you're going to hear our new introduction and fancy outro and all that sort of stuff. So we're looking forward to taking this podcast up to the next level. So if you have any input, you can contact any of us by Twitter, and you can email me, travis@ourkids.net, and let me know how that's going. So we're also going to have a blog for this podcast as well, which is where the show notes will go and things like that. And I'm going to invite these folks and some other folks to share some of the articles that they've written for their own blogs and stuff like that. So hoping to make that blog pretty cool in the future as we get closer to camp season. So thanks very much, everybody. Take care.
No problem. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.